What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is October 22nd, 2021. We've got AEW. We've got SmackDown to talk about here on Fightful. Kate is on the Jericho Cruise after she waited in line for 6 hours and 45 minutes. So we've got TK Trinidad back here. Always happy to have TK on the show. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
Fun fact, I ran the marathon in less time.
Really?
Then she stood in line. It just
died. Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
Oh well, that line was about as long as the opening segment of SmackDown tonight. Not that that's a bad thing, but we'll get into it. But guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Subscribe. Tap that bell for notifications. We have shows all weekend long. We have Grapsody at noon on Saturday. Please check that out. William Washington, Righteous Reg, Phil Lindsay at noon, talking all kinds of wrestling news. After AEW, we have a post show tomorrow night at 10. And then at like 1 in the morning, we've got an Impact Bound for Glory review as well. Our audience has selected AEW, so that's what we're going to lead with. Okay. Donate a super chat if you guys want your questions or statements read on the air. We're always happy to do that. We got some backstage news from SmackDown as well. We've got all kinds of stuff up on the site. Bloodsport was tonight. We interviewed Marina Shafir and Tom Lawler. Interviewed Deonna Purrazzo for Bound for Glory. Lots of content for you. But let's talk AEW. We started off with a world title eliminator tournament match, TK, with Orange Cassidy and Will Hobbs. And I'm conflicted on this result because I like the match. I love Will Hobbs just beating Orange Yes. Cassidy's ass. I like that. Tell me your feelings on this match, how it went, and Orange Cassidy picking up the win.
I feel like there's a trajectory for wrestlers, right? And, you know, some of them go faster. Some of them have a nice slow build. I think for Hobbs, like, he's going to do well with a nice slow build, but we're going to see a belt on him eventually. So it was a great match. I think Orange Cassidy is like another person that I like love to hate. It's like, I know people like him and it's just like, ugh. But I it's great when you have some type of feeling, you know, versus just being lukewarm. So the match was great. It was what I expected. Did you expect anything different or?
Pretty well. I pretty well expected Hobbs to beat him up. Orange Cassidy is a little overpowered for me. I know he is a top star there. I know a lot of people might not think so, but I mean, based like from what I hear, his merch does well. He's protected. His numbers traditionally do well on YouTube and stuff. There are two beliefs. There's one that says that Will Hobbs looked bad because he lost that way. I'm usually of the belief that a good wrestler can lose to a good wrestler with a good pin. Like, I like good pins that are effectively done that aren't those lazy roll up pins where all the weight isn't even on somebody's shoulders. Yeah. This was a good pin, but also it was, if Hobbs had to lose, I'm glad it was this way. I don't need to see Orange Cassidy laying out big ass Will Hobbs and like beating it's him up believable. Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, to some people it's believable. Size isn't always everything in a fight like that, but with Will Hobbs, I'm not going to buy it because I've seen him practically rip people's spines out of their asses in the past. So I see the trajectory. I know they're going towards Orange Cassidy and Moxley. They set that up already. But also, this is scripted. You can put whoever in this tournament you want in whatever area. I would have liked to have seen Hobbs get an opening round win. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think it's I don't think it's his time. I think in another couple of months, I think they are definitely trying to build towards something. I just don't think he's in the picture right now. You know, it's unfortunate. Like, it's one of those things where, you know, you see people and you're like, this person's our star, but you know, with, you know, promotions and storylines and stuff like that, like, they can only concentrate on so much with, you know, so little time. So I think his time is coming. It's just not the moment. So he's not going to get that big push.
We've got Probable Cause saying it's the same-ish with Orange Cassidy and I'm over it. Yeah, I'm ready to see something new out of the Orange Cassidy thing. The gimmick is fine. It's just, let's see some evolution from it. Same stuff. And once the Moxley match is over, which I think Moxley is going to win. But yes, I'm okay with that. Tim Gordon says, I think they're doing the Tay Conti trajectory with Hobbs squash, competitive match with a screwy finish, then a victory. Yeah, I expect him to win the next time out. I don't think he's ruined or anything, but do you think this does anything for his trajectory?
No, not at all. It's kind of one of those things where there's two things. You have people who like look the part, but then they're terrible in the ring, and you can like see that. So you're just kind of like, okay, well, you know, it's one of those things that the company is pushing you, then, you know, we're going to have to accept it. But he looks the part and he can actually go. So, you know, it's like, it's going to happen. He's just not going to have that meteoric, like, you know, strap the belt on him right now. Like, that's just not going to happen. But I definitely see it's going to happen. And, you know, he has all the makings of it.
Kari Fly says, $5 for the melanin. You look good, sis.
Thank you.
Ryan Sullivan says, more wrestling in the hour show than the 2 hour one. There wasn't any wrestling for the first 40 minutes of the 2 hour show. Oh man.
Do you want the rant or wait till we go to,
we'll wait for that. Daniel R says, what match at Full Gear do you, or at Full Gear not announced, do you want? Well, technically the only two things announced are the Eliminator final and Omega Page. What are you looking for?
Obviously, you know, covering women's wrestling, any type of great women's wrestling match, you know, Britt Baker would be a great one. Jade Cargill. I mean, just any, I feel like AEW and WWE, they signed some really great women. They're just not using them. And, you know, they're starting to hear, it's like they tease us and then they like take it back. So I would just love to see a great lengthy women's match.
Yep, I would too. It seems like the direction they're going is Britt Baker, Tay Conti, which we'll talk about momentarily. But Daniel R, or actually Probable Cause, says, can I get an update on Swole instead of constantly being disappointed? She's not a part of anything big in AEW. I know she has health issues. Well, I don't want to speak for Swole or anything like that. She does have health issues. I don't know if that's related to her not consistently being on the show or anything, but she hasn't had a match since the Universal tapings against Alley Catch, but I don't have one. I'll ask around. I'll see what I can find out for sure, though. Well, I mentioned Britt Baker. We've got her taking on Anna Jay. Anna Jay is so good for her level of experience, like shocking level. Now, this was set up to set up the Tay Conti match, presumably for Full Gear, presumably that Britt Baker will win. But I really enjoyed this. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those matches where it's like, you know what the outcome is going to be. You didn't see it. You're not going to see, you know, Anna Jay pinning Britt Baker. It was a great match. The setup was fine. I just feel like with Britt Baker, her character is great. I just feel like they need to flush out the women's storylines a little bit more. It's just kind of like, I hate you now, you hate me, you know, let's fight. And there's way more to women and people than just that. So I really want them to kind of give me something that, you know, you can sink your teeth into versus just wanting to watch a great match. I'm really a big believer on, you tend to remember that a little bit more, the storylines. So yep. I'm hoping that they're going to develop a really great storyline that you're going to actually want to see this match. And, you know, I think, no matter who Britt's going to go with, she's still going to retain. I don't see her losing the belt anytime soon.
Daniel R says, do you think AEW would do good with the best of five series? It would mean more in AEW because we don't see that many rematches in general. So if they did it, it would be more rare than what we see. Because, I mean, quite frankly, we see people in WWE wrestling five times all the time. So it's not as special. I think that Edge Rollins match could have been a lot more special if everything wasn't a trilogy. But Ryan Sullivan says, need more than a 1 week build for women's storylines. Well, this technically is. This is building towards Tay Conti, but I would like it a lot more if somebody who had been pushed to the level of Anna Jay, who's been on the show an awful lot, TK, more than Thunder Rosa has been, more than Nyla Rose has been. probably about the same as Jade Cargill. I'd like to see something more out of that because she has been getting time due to this feud with the Bunny and Penelope that happened.
Yeah, she's getting time and deserving, but do you honestly see her beating Britt Baker anytime soon? Who would you see the belt, like, if that were to happen, who would you see the belt on? Like, I see it more on Ty Conti than Anna Jay. I think that's more of a possibility. I don't think any of it's going to be possible. I think Britt's going to retain, but I see more of that as a potential. They might switch it up on us and, you know, she might get the belt. I don't see the belt on Anna Jay anytime soon.
So we've got the Penta promo. And then we get Los Super Ranas, the frogs. Well, kind of. There are a couple of fellas outside in frog outfits. They pull off their mask. It's not them. FTR beat them up. This is a natural feud. It's going to continue. Again, because AEW doesn't do a bunch of matches over and over again, it makes it a little less tedious. But, I mean, it had to continue because of the nature of how it started, I think. There's a reason for it to continue. So I'm not bothered by it. I'm not like, oh boy, they're hitting us with rematches over and over again yet. I don't want to make them make it a habit all the time, but I thought this was a good segment.
It was a good segment, but it's also one of those segments that you can, if you miss it, you're not missing much.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like that. It's nothing where it's just like, oh, you're doing it too much, but it's a segment where I'm like, okay, it's a good filler, and it was entertaining, and that's always key.
We also had the TBS bracket revealed. I'm going to pull that up really quickly. We have in the first round matches, Anna Jay versus Jamie Hayter, Bunny versus Red Velvet, Serena Deeb, Hikaru Shida, Penelope Ford against Ruby Soho, and then the byes are Thunder Rosa, Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose, and Chris Statlander. The byes seem good to me. I would have liked Shida to get a bye because she had such an overpowering world title run. Mm-hmm. But also, I want to see her wrestle Serena Deeb. That's the first round match I'm most excited for. What'd you think of these matchups?
The matchups are pretty good. I feel like I would like to see it go down or get down to Thunder Rosa and Jade Cargill.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to those. Well, I think Jade Cargill wins it based on the leaked card from Tony Khan's notepad. It looked like maybe they were facing each other at Full Gear or something like that. But let me look at how things are set up right now, because I know they tweeted the bracket. I want to see if they're even on the same, or if they're on different sides of the bracket or not, because I got to take a look at that. Oh man, they posted it in a video.
Yeah, I saw that. But I thought there was like some type of graphic somewhere.
But yeah, so they're going to be in the same side of the bracket. So they will be able to take on each other in the semifinals. So Jade Cargill, Thunder Rosa, I think Jade Cargill wins that. And then we got like Shida and Nyla and Chris Statlander and Serena, Ruby, Penelope on the other side of the bracket.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I mean, interesting. I'm kind of torn. I think they definitely are pushing Jade Cargill, but at the beginning of AEW, you know, when Thunder Rosa was with NWA, I think if she wasn't with NWA, she would have got the belt. And I feel like they need to, I don't know, like, it's not to say that she's not deserving of it. I feel like if anything, I would say Thunder Rosa first and then Jade Cargill. I know why they would do Jade Cargill, but I'd say Thunder Rosa can carry the belt, and, you know, she can make more than enough storylines and carry the belts, and, you know, she's great on the mic and just the aesthetic. Like what she represents and what she's about, I think that's, she would be more deserving of the belt.
Mike in Brooklyn says CM Punk versus Daniel Garcia needs to happen on Full Gear. I think they need to build up Daniel Garcia. Fightful did break that Daniel Garcia signed a full-time deal, and AEW confirmed that this week. So, I mean, that's good. I think now they got to get him some wins. I want to see some wins for Lee Moriarty. I want to see them this new generation, Wheeler, Yuta, I want to see them start to emerge and pick up some wins now that I don't know if Wheeler Yuta is signed full time, but we also had some other stuff announced. I think Jungle Boy, Brandon Cutler, stuff like that. Kari Fly says the issue is the only woman we can see can conceivably see with the belt is Thunder Rosa. They haven't built anyone else up that badass Brit needs. Yeah, for a second I thought she meant the TBS title, but yeah, like Thunder Rosa has been built as Brit's kryptonite so far. Mm-hmm. The TBS title feels a lot like, to me, TK, like the, well, we don't want Jade to lose to anybody, but we also don't want her to beat Brit belt. That's what it feels like to me. Like, yeah, they know she's really good, but it's like that's why that belt's there instead of tag belts.
Right, but then here's the thing, though. So say we do put the belt on Jade Cargill for TBS, then where does that leave Thunder Rosa? Like, I understand, you know, what Britt is doing is amazing. Like, this run is amazing, and I don't foresee it, you know, changing anytime soon. But, you know, Thunder Rosa has been working her ass off. So, you know, there has to be some type of payoff, else it doesn't make any sense. So I see what they're saying, but again, you know, Thunder Rosa first, then Jade Cargill, and then, you know, Thunder Rosa versus Britt again, because, you know, that matchup, no matter what it is, when it is, how many times it is going to be amazing.
Very excited to see how that ends. Chris Hart says Thunder ain't getting it because she is Britt's end game. I think she is Britt's end game as well. Nerd Guru says the issue in AEW's women is now they're now all focusing on the TBS title, but they really haven't had a feud that just wasn't a contenders match for Britt. It does seem like somehow Taekanchi is getting like sort of the consolation prize. She's not in the tournament. She's just got this out of nowhere feud with Britt. It is a little unusual.
And the thing is, they're not building the women's division individually character wise. So it's like you have people that don't necessarily need to be in the title picture, but you can still root for them. You can still, you know, based off the character, you can get to know them a little bit more, et cetera, et cetera. And they're just not doing that. So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done in that avenue. And I've been saying that, you know, give AEW some time. They just started, but we just had Medusa on the show and she's like, F that. They need to get their shit together. So I'm going to roll with that as well. It's like, why can't they? They're doling out all this money, all these contracts. You know, why have a dedicated women's writer or something for us to, you know, then what's the point? So, you know, just invest a little bit more.
Yep. I completely agree. Holy crap, this main event match. Jesus, Andrade and Pac have some incredible chemistry. Up until, I think, up until probably the Bucks versus Omega and Hangman, I think the best match I ever saw live was, I think it was Andrade and Johnny Gargano, and it was on the first NXT tapings after the hurricane in Orlando. And it was just so good. And being on Raw has a way of making you forget how good somebody is. And Andrade is real freaking good. I loved so much about this. I thought they both died on the DDT spot on the apron. That was insane. And I am an absolute dork for really good pins. So Andrade has the hammerlock in to go for his DDT. But Pac puts him in a small package and pins him. We will talk about what happened after the match before or later, but Jesus, they did not stop. They went 100 miles an hour. They got very special chemistry.
Yeah, the brainbuster. Like,
oh, completely forgot about that. That's attempted murder.
It was insane. That match, it was one of those things that I could, if they added another 10 minutes to it, I would have definitely continued watching it. That match on a whole was a great match. You're right. Their chemistry is amazing. And it's.
Hey, guys. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I wouldn't say it's rare, but sometimes there's that connection between wrestlers that no matter what, like how often they wrestle, like you're in for it. And that was this match and matches that they had before. So this match was which was great. I'll let you, you know, segue to the end. But yeah, that match is absolutely amazing.
So this match is just, it was special. It was one of the best that probably Rampage is ever going to see. ShotKid29 says, Rampage is one of the easiest watches of weekly wrestling TV. I'm here for a Malakai Andrade team, but it'd be better if Thea was there. It would be. Very happy for Zelina that she got to win Queen's Crown, but I just feel like this team managed by her would be so good. Mm. Nerd Guru says, check out Andrade's tweet that WrestleVotes quoted. It's him saying FUWWE. I think that's probably more related to the SmackDown show. And we've got Kylie saying Pac Andrade 2 was fantastic, but the ending? So the ending, right after the pin, lights go out, Malakai Black shows up, spits mist into Pac's face. At first, I was looking at it, and I'm like, oh my God, is this the House of Black? Is this it? Is it going to be all three of them? Like, they have a lot of common ground based on where they've worked.
Mm-hmm.
But and I had tweeted, what a finish to Rampage. Well, then Cody came out, and it's like the Cody versus here. And you know what? I enjoy Cody Rhodes' work just fine. But I feel like a lot of this could have stood on its own. I'll see where this goes, because in AEW, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt a little bit more, because they haven't proven time and time again that that's dumb to do. But I think this could have stood really good on its own.
Yeah.
Even just with Aleister Black standing in the ring, looking at them, not even spitting the mist, like making me wonder what the hell is going to happen. What does exactly he want to do?
Yeah.
How would you feel about this? There's a lot crammed into this segment.
There was, and it's just kind of, why would you wait for the last minute? Like, I understand, you know, we saw Cody in previous episodes, you know, training, kind of getting back into his mental stuff like that. But, you know, I would say like the classic Sopranos ending where it's just like, it just fades to black. Like Malakai Black, you know, with the pun, would have just been perfect. Like, I totally agree with you. It's just like, have them there. Now we're guessing. Now we have to wait until tomorrow or next week, depending on when they want to talk about it. And, you know, that's going to be set up for that whole storyline. The question is now, you know, what's going to happen? Like, what's the spinoff? Because now you have four competitors. So how is that going to work out? Which, I mean, that was what they wanted either way. So now it has us wondering and has us talking. So they did their job. But I definitely would have preferred I'm always a sucker for surprise fade to black. Like I love that.
Yeah. And I think that AEW used to do the lights on lights off way too much, but with Aleister Black, it works because I'm always excited to see him. I'm always excited to see him in the ring. Mm-hmm. And Big Hundo says, I love that Arn came out with the I forgot about Arn even popping up. Oscar says, Cody's going to win, isn't he? Yeah. I would like to think that he's self-aware and he knows that there is something bigger at play that needs to happen here. That's what I think. That's what I think. Razor says, well, actually that one's related to the tournament, so we'll go back to that. But we've got a bunch of super chats about this. We've got a bunch about Arn Anderson. We got Kari saying, Armed Anderson uses Glock to shoot Cody in the face territory. I haven't heard that man get cheered like that in months. Well, he is in Miami. He's got connections to it. I want to hear from the people that were there. If anybody was there, did it sound like what it did on TV? Because that this was popped. Taped. It was taped last week, TK.
Mm-hmm. I figured that much because Jericho was there and he's on the cruise.
Well, yeah, there you go. Sawyer says, wasn't expecting a Glock Anderson run in, but those last 6 minutes went hard. They sure did. Oscar says, I trust AEW does a Miro with Andrade. He has a cool entrance, the look, and is one of the best wrestlers out there. TNT Championship material. I'd like to see them use the FTW title some more as well, but we'll see how that goes. Moxie says, we've seen Black Mist. I say we need Tajiri's in AEW. Mm. Yeah. Tajiri doing MLW work now as well. He's one of their champions. Zach says, ain't no way Cody beats Malakai tomorrow. No rah-rah promo. It's on TV. You know, that's a good point, Zach. He says it feels like a setup for Cody turning on Arn. Do you think it is? I can't believe this match is tomorrow. It crept up on me.
Ooh. I don't think just yet. I don't think just yet. It's kind of what, so maybe, I don't know if you can answer this question. As far as writing wise, like, you know, obviously, because Cody's kind of the face of the brand, like, does he get to say yay or nay? Or is there somebody behind there and he's actually following kind of the agents? Like, how's that? How does that go? I feel like it's too, like, he just can't. He can't get your way all the time. That's kind of how I feel. Like you need some buildup, and you need that underdog story, and you need that, like, you know, every empire falls. So you need to kind of build back up to it and become champion, stuff like that. So, yeah, I hope not.
Yeah. We've got more super chats about this. Guys, get those in. We'll get your question or statement read on the air, and we always appreciate you supporting us. Jacob McCray says, Andrade versus Pac 2 lived up to the hype and then some. Also, Taz and Jericho comparing Pac to Dynamite Kid was a great shout. He is the closest I've seen. I know a lot of people said somebody else back in the day, but to me, outside of that, the diving headbutt he doesn't do, he's the closest modern day. Evan says, imagine having Pac on your roster and thinking, nah, we'd rather go with Enzo. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not a big fan of Enzo's wrestling, but I do understand, like, Enzo appeals to a lot of those lapsed attitude era fans that seem to think that he is from that era. And I understand they had Enzo doing main event segments with the cruiserweight title on Raw. So it wasn't all bad there. And from what I understand, those two got along really well, too. So I don't know if it was more that. And I think if you're going to have an Enzo be champion, you need somebody like Pac to eventually set him up to get the shit beat out of him by. Because that's the foil, is Pac beating the shit out of him. But here we are talking about four-year-old wrestling angles.
maybe. You never know.
Oh, man. TK commentating on the Block and Andrade team. Is this foreshadowing? I think he wants your comments on the Black and Andrade team. Like, what do you think about the potential of them getting together?
I feel like Andrade, like, he needs to do solo dolo. Like, I feel like he needs to do his, like, he's enough of a champion or enough of champion status that I feel like he needs to just go on his own and do his own thing for a while. And I think the belt is eventually going to get on him, but it's not there yet.
Brent Lockman says, so about that NXT being WWE or AEW developmental thing, three former NXT champs as the ring as they go off the air. We live in the craziest timeline. There are options now. That's it. There are options.
A lot of options.
Sawyer says, Pac and Cody, Andrade and Black, sounds like a tag team match. Well, I mean, they got Cody and Malakai tomorrow, and I'm hoping after that they can kind of move on past that, unless some really satisfying story is going to go down. Wow, we got a super chat from Christopher Marino. He says, OMG, Denise got to interview Ron Simmons in the ring. Holy crap, good for Denise. That's awesome. He's great. Fran Chili says, wonder if the Malakai Andrade team has more members. Either way, I'm in. See, I kind of wanted the person, like when Andrade was like approaching Lucha Brothers, I was hoping that the person he was really recruiting was Pac, and that eventually they would go after the Lucha Brothers, because you want to talk about a great match. But now that this has happened, I don't know if that's going to go down. I don't think so.
I mean, not anytime soon, but you know, a lot happens in a year.
That's a very good point. August 3 says, apparently the only way to get Andrade to get over is to be carried by an NXT talent. Match of the night for sure with Pac. I don't know if that's sarcastic or not, but he's amazing. He's amazing. Corbin says, who do you think becomes the first multi-time AEW champ? You mean in general? I think Britt Baker probably will become the first two-time champ. I think she's going to be a person they go back to a ton of times over the next 10 years.
Yeah, she's going to hold longest reign, and then she's going to have multiple, not as many as Charlotte, because, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, having the title 1,000 times is a bit much. But, yeah, she's definitely multi-champion.
Eloquent says, here's a super chat for Duncan on Disco Inferno. Buddy, that's like setting the rims to 6 feet and just lobbing it up to me. It ain't hard. But thank you for the super chat. I greatly appreciate it. Andy Slamberg said, every second of that main event ruled. Malakai and Andrade is an interesting pair moving forward. Also, Anna Jay has got good fast. Well, Anna Jay is, I mean, she was showing an awful lot in like her early matches, even like when she was like 8-9 matches deep. And unfortunately she had that shoulder injury, but you know, getting some time to study work couldn't be bad. Oh, just me, Junie said, that's why that chat was confusing. He said, meant Trinidad as Zelina too. We got multiple Trinidads we're talking about here.
I also feel with Anna Jay and Ty Conti, like it's, like I said before, it's one of those things that I can get behind Anna Jay if we give her more of a, or she's allowed to, it just depends. I don't know what's happening backstage, more of a personality. You know, we're seeing bits here and there, but Britt Baker is like fully evolved. Like we know what she's about. Like it's very fleshed out. And whereas the other female wrestlers on the roster, not as much. So it's like if we can, you know, fully, you know, flesh out the rest of the roster, including Anna Jay, then I could definitely see her in the title picture and root for her and, you know, say she's ready, stuff like that. But again, that's a AEW thing.
Kari says, Arn broke into Cody's house, stole and set his suit on fire, then told him to paint a star on his face. If he wasn't turning on him after that, then, I mean, yeah, Arn pulled some pretty wild shit during that. He's like, oh, you finally noticed me. It's like, yeah, you've got a barrel fire outside, Arn. Like, he figured out you were there with all the subtlety of a hammer to the head. Jay Blood says, not convinced Andrade versus Malakai is anything but a temporary arrangement. Andrade has arranged only these things short-term deals for his ends in AEW, or these kind of short-term deals for his ends in AEW. So, yes, he does not hang on to people long. Like, that is canon. He did not hang on to Vicky Guerrero long. He did not hang on to Chavo long. I can't even remember if this other fella is with him anymore. I didn't even notice him out there.
He was standing behind him.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
not for long.
Not for long. Do you think that's a his decision or backstage decision?
I think it's a backstage decision and probably a he decision, but that's just me. I don't want to speak for him because he will tweet me. But it's. To me, it's like, if it doesn't work, move on. Just move on past it. If it's not working, if it ain't going 100%, move on. Obviously, it would have been really cool to have Zelina there. That didn't work out. I really wish it would have, because they had magic together. They really did. Yeah. It worked out really well. Angel Garza even was really good with him. But I like the idea of you are only useful to him until you're not useful anymore. And then see you later, buddy.
I mean, that's the like blueprint for bosses. Like, I mean, we pay you to do work. And if you can't do the job, then, you know, nothing personal. This is business. See you later. But it would be really great to have somebody, you know, represent him. And, you know, I'm going to throw this name out. And I don't think anybody compares to him. I don't even know if there's any, you know, any live person, you know, even on that level, but like a Paul Heyman or like Paul, not Al Paul Heyman, just Paul Heyman. And there's nobody like that. But, you know, Zelina Vega would have been really great. And I said that she didn't win the Queen's Crown yesterday. You know, it's time to pack it up because they are just playing with her. So I'm glad that she did win. So I don't think, you know, that pairing is going to happen anytime soon. But you never know with WWE. And, you know, her boo is at AEW. So,
yeah,
anything's possible.
Razor said, or actually, we got Terrence Robinson saying, Pac and Andrade showed us, regardless of the outcome, you can get over with a clean finish. Should we pass this on to WWE? This. I don't think Andrade was hurt by getting pinned by Pac. Sometimes good wrestlers beat other good wrestlers. To me, you're more protected by the old Randy Savage motto of win them in the ring, lose them in the ring, just take the pinfall, than the constant DQ, the constant no contest, the constant this, the constant that. That instead of protecting everyone, it makes nobody look important or good enough to just win.
Well, I think in this case, because of the setup and the ending, it does make sense, but you can only do that so many times. Like, I agree. If you do it one too many times, then you're just kind of like, well, what is this for? And you know, we know that it is partially scripted, but you know, you want to have some belief in it. That's what makes, you know, things and matches and, you know, promotions amazing. When you go into it and you think you know what's going to happen, but the match is so great that you're invested in the match, and then you're questioning yourself, like, oh, is this going to happen? Like, you know, so yeah, there's only so many times to do that. But I think for today, it worked.
Her guru says, in a parallel universe, this segment happens as is, but instead it becomes about Cody, Arn, Andrade's manager, Ric Flair, and I'm happy we're not there. Yeah, not going to be there. Carlos Mendez says, once Andrade has more reps and a better storyline, he's going to go nuts. Also, I get to watch Dynamite tomorrow since the Astros are going to the World Series. I mean, you know what? As a Reds fan, I'm happy for Dusty Baker, and that's all I'll say about that. Good for Dusty. And Razor 2910 wraps us up with our AEW Super Chats, but you guys are still more than welcome to send in. He says, could see Ruby versus Jade in the finals. Also, Britt versus Rosat, Revolution 2022. I think maybe not even Revolution, maybe Double or Nothing next year, approaching the 1 year mark, is maybe where we see it. But I think Thunder Rosa is the ultimate end game for Britt, for sure.
Yeah. There's no way, and I like Jade, but she's not, mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, TBS would probably be the way for her to go, but there's no way that Jade Britt, like Britt will make Jade look good, but I want to see when Jade kind of gets a little bit better to like actually, you know, go full throttle.
Reminder, guys, get in your super chats. Kari says, sending this because I don't think I've heard you mention how over OC is. He needs a title run before that dies. I think he will get one, especially if they do a trios title or something. I do worry that maybe his booking might sort of, like, maybe, I don't want to say subside that, but he's got to show, like, some, I don't want to say some sort of got vulnerability, but I think he is becoming a little overpowered here and there. We've got more super chats rolling in that we'll get to. Razor says, with this, do you think we'll get these feuds soon? Cody Andrade, Pac Malachi. Yeah, I think that Cody Andrade is a natural progression from this.
Yeah, I agree too. I mean, Cody's back, so he needs something to do. So yeah, that would be, I don't know. I almost want to see. Yeah. Ooh. or Malachi. Oh. Either or, I think it'd be good if they write it correctly. If they get it right, else it can go terribly wrong.
Well, TK, we have a busy weekend here at Fightful. We're going to be pulling late night tomorrow, so I got to make sure that I get my sleep on my beautiful Helix mattress, helixsleep.com/Fightful. Helix Sleep has changed my life, changed my sleeping. I've said it before, and I'll tell you guys again. I used to sleep on a slab of memory foam that I bought off Amazon, and I was like, oh, this will be good. No, it wrecked my back. It was not good for me, especially my lower back. It really killed that, a lot of stuff. Helix changed things for me. And it was during the pandemic that I found Helix because I wanted a new mattress, but I did not want to go to a mattress store. So I found Helix. I took their quiz. It took just 2 minutes to complete. It matched my body type and my sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for me. And I got matched up to the Dusk Lux model. I wanted something that was a little bit medium, and I used to be just a back sleeper. Now I can sleep on my back or my side. It supports my neck. Had a broken neck about 12 years ago. It's helped out a lot. Has have their pillows. They've got mattresses for spinal alignment, ones that cool you down if you sleep hot, soft, medium, firm. They have so many different mattress models and sizes. They even have a Helix Plus for plus size sleepers. So if you're looking for that mattress, take the quiz, order the one you're matched to, and it'll come right to your door, shipped for free. You do not have to go to a mattress store again and roll around on the mattresses that all those plebs during the pandemic, not even wearing masks, they're just rolling around, wallering all over, doing monster truck rally all over these mattresses. Not at Helix. And not only that, they have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will. They have financing options and flexible payment plans. That way, a great night's sleep is never far away. And right now, they're offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Fightful. This is a product that I use every day, every night. I'm waking up. I'm spending hopefully a third of my day on this thing. And I hit them up after I bought one. And I said, I would love to work with you guys. I really like your product. And very happy they'll be remaining with us through 2022. HelixSleep.com/Fightful.
I like somebody in the chat. They said you're the king of transitions. I agree.
That one wasn't that good. Razor 2910 said, SRS, know all about the butt tonight. So what happened was a lot of people complained that it was too loud. They said, so what happened was, like, you know, I occasionally, TK, get some crazies that come after me and get a little personal. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I had one today that on Reddit. It's like, I'm going to leak personal stuff of you. Like, I think they were insinuating like I have ball sack pictures out there or something. I don't know. And Denise is like, what kind of person would do that? And I was like, well, I cannot possibly get inside the mind of somebody who has never touched a butt before. And Denise is like, why a butt? Why a butt? Why not a wiener? And my idea was, a butt is very inclusive because everybody has a butt. Everybody, okay, no matter who they're attracted to,
has a butt.
That person has a butt.
Well,
but unfortunately,
most people.
Yes, my video clip was a little bit too loud, and I got people that were saying, oh my God, it's too loud. So what I did was have our social media manager, Kyler, make another one. You know it's all about the butt. You're welcome, guys.
All right.
Dude Felice says, TK doesn't seem overly amused. You had to be there. You had to be there. But now she knows once and for all what the deal is. She knows that it's... You know it's all about the butt. And that's where we go from here.
There it is. Happy Friday.
Dr. Sixfinger says, angry coach OC will be fun to watch evolve. That it will. But we had SmackDown tonight. Started off kind of promising, but boy, was this drawn out. This did not need to be 36 minutes, TK. with no women's matches on the show, a bunch of new debuting talent popping up, a bunch of rematches, 36 minutes. Now, once this segment got going, I really enjoyed it.
Right.
36 minutes. Nerd Guru says Roman and Brock got 36 minutes. No women's matches. The biggest women's star in the world seemingly get a meaningless belt swap. This company, man. Holy crap, man.
Man. I get, okay. It was a long time. 36 minutes was a very long time. I do enjoy the fact that, you know, that Brock, you know, ripped people's pants and tore things apart, stuff like that. But kind of thinking about it, you know, we had a lot of people who were in Saudi Arabia and coming back jet lag. I mean, I'm trying to reach, you know, it was a lot, like, why? But after some pay-per-views, they do stuff like this. It's like, this is nothing new. This has happened before. So it's just kind of like very disappointing. And then on top of that, you know, I'm a women's wrestling advocate. It's one of those things where it's like you have more than enough people backstage that you can start new storylines if you don't want to, you know, use the people that was in Crown Jewel yesterday. I get it. You have people, though. It's not like, you know, it's just a bare bones locker room. So that's the frustrating part of it. It was just kind of like, I wish they would have let me know. I mean, I would have ordered some food or made something. I don't know. It was one of those things. But again, this has happened before. It's WWE. We're in an abusive relationship with WWE, and WWE does not care about our feelings.
Kari Fly says, someone save my sister from this man's craziness. # CTK. Listen, she's been on the show multiple times now. She's stuck. She can't.
And I follow you guys on social media. You and Denise's relationship is quite interesting. I do see a lot of the tweets. So, yeah.
I think by now that TK knows. You know it's all about that life. But she's aware. She's aware. So Roman keeps calling Brock out. By the way, FightfulSelect.com, we broke the news that Brock was going to kick off this show, sort of, like 20 minutes in, broke the news of Drew McIntyre's opponent, a lot of that. Well, Brock finally comes out, and I love what we're seeing here. Brock's just throwing people around. He throws Daivari over the table. Shane Helms looks at him, and he's like, I don't want no part of this shit, man. And he walks away. Adam Pearce comes out. He's not happy. And suspends Brock Lesnar. Well, Brock Lesnar absolutely wants part of that shit. And F5's Adam Pearce out of his pants, TK.
I saw that.
He went full SpongeBob.
Yeah, he was about 6 inches from a full frontal.
Oh, yeah. Our moderator, Hannah, would have been just stoked about that. But that didn't happen. So Brock is like all up in Adam Pierce's face, like, oh, really? I'm suspended? And Pierce stuck to his guns. He's like, yes, you are. Now, we have seen the Brock get suspended angle before. I always like it because it means Brock's tearing stuff up. And that I'm cool with. I believe Brock can beat up every single person consecutively back there. He's a former UFC heavyweight champion. I believe it. How did you feel about his portrayal and the way they wrote him off for a while?
I think we knew it was coming. You know, we're fully aware of his contract, and, you know, it's not like a typical WWE contract. So we knew it was coming, but yeah, I was for that. I mean, I don't know if they got the pants just right or just happened, you know, just the way life is. I liked every part of this. And the whole angle too is, you know, Brock is on his farm in Canada, and not even like, you know, Toronto, Canada, where there's a lot of people. Like, he's there with the cows, he's cutting wood. Like, he's beyond lifting and working out, he's doing, like, you know, traditional stuff. So yeah, he can definitely go through all the locker room and everything like that. I loved it. I just didn't love the fact that, you know, it would have been nice if they did that and he wrecked through and then he maybe came back and wrecked some more, but then we also had some matches, you know, like fill in that 35 minutes.
Mark Plink says, here's a couple of dollary dues for watching SmackDown so we don't have to, and a thank you for everything you guys do. Hey, we get to review wrestling, man. It's pretty easy, but thank you. James says, proof if we ever need it, Vince can only book one or two angles at most at a time. This show screamed Vince was worried about one thing. One thing got the focus and one thing was good. That was about it.
The question I have, and I think the answer is now that the fact we're not going to see Brock a little bit for a while is, where do you think Paul Heyman's alliance lies? Like, do you think, you know, with the comeback of Brock, whenever that happens, you know, we're going to see what happens? Because watching Crown Jewel, that was what I was like, wait, where's Paul?
I think ultimately his loyalty isn't to either guy. It's to the title because of the money. It's like, it's a much more sophisticated version of Sunny in 1996, where she went from the Body Donnas to the Smoking Guns to the Godwins. Wherever the belts went, she went. If you'll notice, when Paul Heyman threw that belt in the ring, he threw it in between both of them, and he looked at the belt and said, you know what to do. Almost like he was putting his fate in the hands of whatever way that belt bounced. Like, I feel like Paul wasn't talking to Roman. He wasn't talking to Brock. He was talking to the title belt. You know what to do, which is lead him to whoever is supposed to have it.
Right, and how he cradles the belt like it's his child, too.
Yes. Yes, I love it. It's very interesting stuff. Reminder, guys, get your super chats in. Kari Fly says, attempted murder was Brock about to make Adam meet his maker. Goldberg could learn from him. That's how you kill someone. All I heard the last few weeks is how Lashley and Goldberg were going to murder each other, TK.
That part better. I mean, it was so funny when you watched the pre-show yesterday, and Rosenberg was like, there's a lot of felony offenses that's happening. First off, you know, Goldberg's son came, like, allowed to be backstage. That's like breaking, entering, and, you know, threatening, you know, to kill somebody. That's another thing. I mean, I know you went through Crown Jewel, but yeah, that's definitely, Brock did it the right way.
We've got Brandon Charles Powell says, if Pierce's pants come all the way off, we could know what it's all about. Oh, my God.
The butt.
well, backstage, we got Naomi and Sonya. This continues to be one of my favorite programs. Like, they're killing it. They're killing it.
Are they?
I love it. I think they are. I think they're doing good. Naomi is fully aware of her online following and how people know how she's treated. They know that she doesn't get what she deserves, and they've made it a storyline. I think they've made it a good one, because she's like, oh, well, I want my match. And Sonya's like, no, you can wait. She's being dismissed every week. This is taking up like 1 or 2 minutes. They're not actually wrestling each other a bunch, so I'm not tired of seeing it, but you don't seem to agree. I'm interested to hear your take.
All right. Well, I definitely agree. Somebody just said Naomi should have been in the Queen's Crown tournament. Yes. For you guys who don't know, I am a super Naomi fan. I absolutely love her. She's the sweetest person ever. It's one of those things that I get what they're trying to do in the story. But there comes a point where, you know, sometimes art imitates life, or life imitates art. And if anybody had the audacity to disrespect me to that level, and on top of that, for a living, I beat people up, Sonya would have at least had a finger to the forehead, at least, or at least to the point where, you know, you're going to fear me. And I feel like Naomi is capable of that. A lot of people have been saying that, you know, it's, you know, maybe a setup for a heel turn or something like that. I am just incredibly frustrated, because it's one of those things where we can have, Sonya Deville disrespecting Naomi, they've been disrespecting Naomi even before all of this happened. So at the end of the day, like, Naomi just needs to wreck shop and, you know, beat the brakes off of Sonya Deville first. Like, forget setting up a mess. Like, just beat, like, get some garbage cans. We know how it goes in backstage. Get some garbage cans.
Slap
the shit out of her.
I think we're about to hear some stuff about how it goes down backstage based on, like, some messages I'm getting too.
Yeah, I'm really hoping, like, it's to the point where I have the same type of personality as Naomi. It's very, like, you know,
sure,
60%. We chilling. But then you cross the line, and then there's no holding back. Like, the Usos, both of them were gonna have to come out and grab her off. Like that's, it's going to get to that point. I hope. I hope it's not one of those things where she finally gets a match and then, you know, she's finally deserving and all this other stuff. No, you take what you want, period. Like they've been disrespecting her way too long, the whole company. So it's like, just beat the brakes off of everybody and just call it a day.
Kari says the racial undertones of this match is getting old. Do you agree with that?
Yes and no. Yes, because it's like, it's more than that. And no, because that happens every day. That's stuff that people have to deal for weeks and years. Like they can't beat their boss up in real life. But that stuff happens a lot. So yes and no. It's a catch 22 with stuff like this. Like I hope it comes out the right way, which is the way I want, versus it to get to a point. And you know, sometimes with WWE, they get these storylines and they're like, we're bored now. And then you never hear, there's never a wrap up. There's never an end of it. So I just hope that they do something with this storyline where Naomi gets her due, where you know, yes, she's been there for a long time. She's capable. In ring, I feel like she does need a manager. There has to be, I forget, for those who follow me, I'm all about the Samoan faction. I've been talking about it for years. But there needs to be something. And I'd be highly disappointed if they get to the point where it's like, okay, we're bored now. And then she falls back down to, you know, not seeing her for 3 or 4 months.
This has to result in Naomi getting her comeuppance, or Naomi getting one over on Sonya. And it's like, the thing is, Sonya hasn't wrestled in like 14 months, so I'm sure they'd want to bring her back with a bang. But also, it's like, Naomi's gotta get one over on her.
Mm-hmm.
Kari says, Sonya called security on Naomi for going to the ring demanding a match, but Drew did the same thing in Crickets. It's obvious that it's racial. I really think WWE is oblivious to all that. I don't think that they consider that whatsoever. Like, I don't think it's malicious. I think it's oblivious.
Yeah. When you have people who all look the same writing a story and they don't see it, it happens quite often. That's why, you know, the last 3 or 4 years they've been asking for diversity, not just in wrestling, but just in general, because it's like, how can you tell, you know, those things if you're not privy to it? So, from what I hear, I think they did hire two black female writers. But again,
what does that mean? If you're an audience of one, right, and it's Vince McMahon and he says what goes, there you go.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre issued an open challenge. Drew McIntyre came out and Sami Zayn accepted it. And he's like an aggressive Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
He still lost. New music. What did you think? I loved his old music because it was great babyface music, but also smarmy jackass music as well because of the way he danced. But he was very, very aggressive.
I think this is, you have to change it up sometimes. And I think, you know, we as fans, especially when you've been doing something for so long and you're kind of at that level where, you know, they don't have to push him down our throat. Like, we're all generally fans of his, that, you know, we want the old Sammy back. But you know, this new version, I'm really interested to see what's like the documentary, like his bits throughout the years, the documentary, all this stuff. Like, I'm really interested to see, you know, what's going to happen next. What version of Sammy we're going to get.
Well, this match was pretty solid. They had never wrestled before, ever. Not a tag match, not a battle. I don't think they've been in the same battle royal, the same Royal Rumble, anything. Like, when I go to the cage match profile and I type in their names, nothing comes up. That is so rare. That is so incredibly rare. But then when you think about it, Drew got released right around the time that Sammy got hired. Then right. Sammy has been there ever since. But I mean, still, you would think at some point over the last 3.5 years, but it hadn't happened. I thought they had pretty solid chemistry. And if you liked it, good news, guys, you're probably going to see this 3 or 4 more times.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So there definitely you go. Nerd Guru says, just saying a fella named Dean Ambrose had his music changed on his way out. Sammy has now. I fully expect KO to get a change if he's a heel. They've been trying to change a lot of their middle of the decade, stuff, themes and stuff. If CFOs made it, and I don't know if they did, there were a lot of those they were trying to move away from. We've got Mansoor, Mustafa Ali. Mansoor won because we needed this rematch. I thought it was perfect last night. The way they did it, Mansoor won. There was that great cameo from the Saudi Olympian that the crowd just adored and blew up over. We broke the news on FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe. But to see this again, it's like, well, all right, of course they do it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we were doing a watch along yesterday, and you know that card was stacked, and that particular match, I feel, wasn't for North Americans. Like, that was for Saudi. Like, if that was somewhere else, I don't even know if that match would have happened, unfortunately. So for them to do it again, I mean, again, they had 35 minutes of nothing. You know, we don't know. Well, you might know what's happening behind the scenes, but you know, it's just kind of like there's a reason for that, that, you know, me and the rest of the folks have no idea. And you know, they probably just threw that match in to fill some time.
Well, I'm hopeful, because it's obvious Drew is going to face Roman Reigns at some point. Why wouldn't he? Nobody expects him to beat Roman Reigns, but I would much rather Drew McIntyre get some wins before he does that. So he beat Sammy after losing to Big E, and he hadn't really had a bunch of singles matches before that in a while. I want you to rehab him. I don't want you to just be like, new brand, here's your title shot because you held the title before, because we've seen him lose a bunch of them. Let's make him a threat again.
Yeah, I mean, his buildup when he got the belt was incredible. I feel like he's in a very strange predicament, because it's like they already have storylines that they're pushing, but they also don't want to, you know, drop him down to, you know, I call it the WWE wastelands, where, you know, they're there just eating craft services. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I just hope that he just has the makings of a champion. He's been a champion before. They just need the right storyline. So they just need to figure it out.
That I agree with. We got promos from Angel and Humberto, Xia Li, Ridge Holland, Aaliyah, and Sheamus. Mostly new people, but also Sheamus. Okay, it's a fine way to introduce people. It's very like 2006, like WWE, ECW. My name is, and then they go on. That's how they used to teach people how to do it in OVW.
Right.
Except for Xia Li, that was a little bit different. What'd you think of these introductions?
Man, I look, I'm from Canada, so I root for everybody Canadian. I really hope that Aaliyah, they do something with her. Like, she was in NXT for like 1,000 years, so now she's on the main roster. But unfortunately, I don't think they're going to do much with her. But I really hope that they do. I'm here for it. Like, you know, if you're familiar with NXT, or if you watch NXT as well, you're familiar with a lot of these faces. It's always scary when they do the call-ups, because you don't know, one, if they're going to just change the person entirely, and then it just completely flops, and now you're just incredibly disappointed, and you're like, I want the old thing back from NXT. Like, they were dominating, and now they're just, you know, doing one or two bits, and then, you know, they're jobbing for folks. Or they, you know, put them in a proper storyline. And it's just always scary, because, you know, I don't know what the ratio is, but to me, it's not very successful. Like, the people who do the crossover, it's like, I would say like a 40% success rate.
Falab says, Drew should go for the IC title because of his history with it and get Broken Dreams back. Well, I don't think that's going to happen, because I think Happy friggin' Corbin is about to. This was like the 7th or 8th singles match between Corbin and Nakamura this year. Brand new rosters, and what they do is give another rematch. I have whined and bitched and moaned about rematches ad nauseum. I can't possibly care anymore. if I'm a regular viewer of SmackDown and this match comes on, despite me enjoying the work of both guys, I'm flipping the channel. Corbin won. The Intercontinental Champion loses. So you know that's the drill. He's going to get a title shot. He's probably going to lose that.
Waste of time.
It was
I like the storyline, like where Corbin's come from. But and kudos to whoever really likes him backstage, because it's just kind of like there's so many other things that they could be doing.
I'm cool with not even talking about that anymore. Because we got Hit Row against a couple of jobbers. This was originally supposed to be Jinder Mahal and Shanky. I think it is a much better idea that it was these two fellows of whose name I did not get. But we had Top Dollar destroying these poor souls. Anthony Velasquez says, haven't seen much of Hit Row, and I don't watch much of NXT, but I can already tell I'm going to like them. Hopefully they can find success in the main roster. Well, I hope so, but Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard are writing for them. So it will not be long before they're talking about their K-Swiss sneakers and, you know, doing stuff like that. I am very excited to hear Bruce Pritchard written rap for Top Dollar, because he's like, we write promos for you up here, pal. When Top Dollar dropped a really good rap on I think it was on Max Caster last week.
Yeah, they were talking about
I liked everything about this. I thought this was great.
Yeah, it's again, that fear, that call up fear. It's like they were doing so well in NXT, and I feel like if they left them there, they would have had, you know, a really great run. I do like the fact that they did call them up, but I'm also scared what is going to happen with them. You know, it's kind of one of those things where they bring them up together and then they just decide to like break them up. Then like it's possible. We've seen it. So there is a lot of fear. You know, the next coming months for them. I think they're amazing. I like their gimmick. I like the style. It's just a really great crossover. It's like when Bad Bunny came. It's just a really great music wrestling crossover that they can actually use to their advantage to bring more people who might have been wrestling fans when they were kids, like back into the WWE universe fold if they do it right. The problem is that they often don't do it right. So yeah. we'll see.
Nerd Guru says the NXT call-up ratio is abysmal. The only one that's worked the last 3 years is Bianca. Why? Because she is herself and she's a star. Well, even that, they make her be like, oh, gee, gosh, golly, I'm so grateful to be here. I'm like, no, she's a super athlete. You should portray her as like, how the hell is anybody going to beat her? Like, right. If she's the underdog, what is everybody else?
Right. Like, and then also remember, just a little FYI, like I've been a Bianca fan since she was in CrossFit. Like Bianca's been a star before WWE. Like if you go back, and I don't even know if you can find the footage of her in the regionals of CrossFit and the outfit she was wearing then, it's like you already knew compared to the rest of the field. And then on top of that, when she did get signed to WWE, if you just look at the NXT videos of her training and the way that Triple H is talking about her, like you already knew that this was, you know, what's happening now, this was happening. That doesn't happen with too many call-ups. Like, I think that Frankie Monet is going to, you know, that's going to happen. They're going to strap the, you know, the booster on her back too. But yeah, you can kind of tell with the signees once they kind of, you know, the love they get, you know, whether, you know, where they're going to end up. So yeah, it's scary, but I don't know, hope and a prayer.
Yeah. All hail King Woods. God, I'm so happy about this.
Like, yes.
Sometimes it's just good to do the right thing and the thing that people want. Because, TK, the people are who buy tickets and who subscribe to the network. And quite frankly, they should get what they want most times because that's who you're servicing.
Right.
And it was so easy. Big E won the world championship. Kofi Kingston won the world championship. But Xavier has said often, this is what I wanted.
Years.
This is what I grew up seeing. And with WWE treating it so meaninglessly to everybody else, why not treat it meaningful for a guy that it means something to? Because if it means something to the person, well, then it's probably going to mean more to me, the viewer. And I love this. You could see how happy Kofi was. I do hope that Xavier gets like, I want him to almost parody the King gimmick. Like, not to the level King Booker did, but I want him to do it in a babyface manner that really trolls heels. And I kind of want Kofi to just be like, hell, I'm going along with it. I'm going to be his jester just for fun. Because Kofi would do that as his friend.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, I again, you can probably speak to this a little bit more than you know, I'm guesstimating. I think they value Xavier's ideas thus far. So I think, you know, I already know that he has a plethora of ideas. You know, what's going to happen in the coming weeks, in the coming months. So I'm excited because it's just they can't they don't strike out. They just don't strike out with their promos, just with their even the little backstage, you know, vignettes, like all that. They just don't strike out. So I'm really and it's funny. And sometimes you just need to laugh and enjoy. Like, you know, we're still in the pandemic, I think. I don't know what's happening in the world. But it's nice to have like a moment where you're not upset at WWE for botching something. It's just nice to have like, yes, this was well deserved. And, you know, the coming weeks with this particular moment with them is going to be funny and it's going to be hilarious and we can all enjoy it. So I'm here for it.
We've got Kari Fly saying, seeing the joy on New Day's face they have for each other is so beautiful. I don't understand why everyone's in a breakup. It's dumb. It has been constantly reiterated to me. They don't want to break up. They aren't going to break up. Kazim Famuyide, who did a lot of their writing for them, was like, they are not breaking up. They are adamant that they're not breaking up. Good for them sticking to their guns.
Yeah. And it's also been said that somebody said, this is, I can't say who because I don't want to.
Sure.
But somebody said from that group said that if that was even a suggestion, then that would be the end of New Day, period.
They signed their contracts together to match up. And to me, the fact that they have gone against any of that has added to their success and their accolades. And as a result, they are stronger. Another team that did that, the North, Josh Alexander and Ethan Page, they said, we will split up. We will not break up. Mm-hmm. And look where they are now. One of them's doing his work in AEW. The other one's main eventing Bound for Glory. Look where the New Day are. They're getting everything they wanted.
Yep.
Except for good booking on Raw and SmackDown. Same old matches.
Well, I mean, you can't get everything. You can't get everything.
Yeah.
But they do have an amazing podcast, which is also
they do. It's incredible. We've got Brandon Charles Powell saying the Kingwood celebration made me smile. It's nice to smile. That's what we should be doing. We should be leaving this stuff saying this is what I want to watch next week. Just make it make sense, and then I'll probably like it. Razor 2910 said, one name you forgot to mention for Roman is Goldberg, since they never had their Mania match. Plus, I could see them doing it for the next time in Saudi. Well, that is February. I could, too. To me, the Goldberg showing up and getting a title match every year thing is so old. I do not want to see that anymore. That's probably wishful thinking for me at best.
With the Saudi deal, and again, you would know more. Is it because remember when they first have it back in 2019, they had like all these
the older guys.
Yes,
I mean they were asking for Yokozuna on that show.
Right. So
and Yokozuna was not alive. I bet Fala Ba was going to Scott D'Amore like, hey, listen, I can wear Yokozuna's stuff and get that payday. You better not tempt me. I think that'll happen now that somebody mentioned. Terrence Robinson says, I love WWE, but is it an indictment on their future roster with the talent showing out on AEW? The format has to change somewhere down the line, right? You would think so. I do think eventually they sell. I don't have any intel that leads me to say they are. I think that right now they are a content creation company as opposed to a professional wrestling company. And if that's how you want to run your company and it goes successful, that's fine. Is it what I grew up on? No, I grew up on more wrestling, sports entertainment. This isn't even sports entertainment to me. It's just content creation, churning stuff out to say, here are some more hours.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're waiting for the leader of the pack to go with Jesus, I guess. That's the safest way to say it. And then we're going
to
see what.
Well, yeah, I don't want that to happen. I'd rather the guy go, you know what? I'm going to stick around as a consultant.
That's not happening. That's like kind of telling, like, your parents have been running the household since you've been alive.
Sure.
And like you telling them, you know what? It's time for you to sit down. They're going to look at you like you were a child and you could be 40, 50 years old. Like, you were a child and I'm running the show. And it doesn't seem like it, unless, you know, something happens mental wise where he's not capable, which I don't think so, because he's in good health. You know, it's going to be, I don't foresee him stepping down, not voluntarily.
Injection2K says, SRS, hey, you know it's all about that.
You know it's all about that.
But.
Is there like, because I was on another podcast where they pay for that. Like, is there somebody paying for you to play?
I sure hope not. Oh, man, because none of our videos will be monetized. Well.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We got the women's championship swap, and I thought, surely they're not going to advertise this and do something that stupid. And I actually, honest to God, had people that go, well, they did it last year. What's the big deal? It was stupid then, too. But at least with the Street Profits and New Day, you believe that they don't hate each other so much
that
it would happen. These two women loathe each other on screen. And it was just this weird, awkward throwing the title at each other thing. This was stupid. This was stupid. Here, and people said, what else would you have done? I don't know. It's a scripted show. It ain't real. You can make whoever you want win, whoever you want lose. You can schedule multiple person matches like yesterday where Bianca Belair could have pinned Sasha Banks, hit the bricks, taken one of the titles to wherever she needed to take it to. Whether it be the Raw title, SmackDown title, you could have put Charlotte in that match. You could have made it two falls. You could have just renamed the titles, the WWE Women's title and the Universal title. Any number of things you could have done. But they're just throwing these belts like, nah, who cares about these? Let's just trade. This was stupid. And then Sasha came out and it's like, okay, well, here we go.
Yeah. They have so many women back there. I agree. There were so many options to do that. They could even extend it and did another match between the two of them or just something. But I kind of feel with the writing is like, it's kind of like, you know, like back in the day when you had to write an essay and you were short on time and it was heavy on the top part. And then the rest was just kind of like, you just said whatever. That's kind of what it felt like. All right, this is what we're going to do. And no thought process, nothing kind of, you know, and I'm hoping in giving them the benefit of the doubt that there is a game plan after this, but you know, I don't think so. I think there is a plan, but it's not going to be something that we like.
I was confident that Becky Lynch came back. And the reason that Bianca match happened the way it does is because there was like some really good creative story. I didn't give WWE credit. I gave Becky credit. I gave Becky credit that she would recognize what a star Bianca is and say, if we're going to do this, something really good needs to be tied to it. If there was, Well, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, they should have, like, Bianca should have retained the belt at SummerSlam. That this is where they would have done that Sopranos moment or something where Becky came out, she gave the stare down, she says, bitch, I'm back, and they would have gone at it. And, you know, just based off how it looks now, you know, they're definitely more pro-Becky than they are pro-Bianca. But they could have extended it to Survivor Series and then, you know, the belt drops. I mean, obviously, we have the changes, but, you know, there could have been so many other ways with the 27 seconds and then to keep taunting Bianca that after Bianca does a one-arm press of Sasha is just kind of like doesn't make sense.
To me, it's like, you're not going to make me think that Becky Lynch, one of the greatest, probably the most over woman at any given time, women's wrestler ever, beating Bianca in 26 seconds, clean as a sheet. They say short notice. Okay. Short notice for Becky too. She didn't have much time to prepare. It doesn't protect anybody. It makes Becky look dominant, sure, but Becky didn't need to look dominant. We already knew she was dominant. Maybe, you know, coming back after giving birth, I guess. But let's get into some super chats. Daniel R says, I don't know why you'd do a title swap. At least make them both vacate the titles and have two big title matches. Make them earn it. Well, I don't like that either. I think if you earn that title, you should get to keep it. But, like, just make it to where you don't have to trade them. Carlos says, the Andrade tweet, is it what we think it's about? Andrade tweeted, F U WWE after this. But this was after his match, not after. Well, yeah, I think it was directly after his match, not after the main event segment. I've got some people messaging me about something going on backstage. I just don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't have any clue. I'm working on it, but I don't know. And I'll keep trying to find out. It's just, I don't know what it could be. Something minimal. I had somebody hit me up and they're like, oh my God, you got to check on this week. It'll be super controversial. And then I looked into it and I was like, well, that's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. That actually sounds helpful, but you know, it all depends on how people take things. Brent Lockman says no one should ever be handed a title. It's silly. I agree. I don't even like it for heel purposes. Nerd Guru says, SmackDown didn't do any favors to the women. It's shameful. The belt swap is so dumb. Sasha and Charlotte, again, no thanks. Rename the titles, please. Zach Barber says, the belt swap was lame, but after 17 months, the Raw women's title is back where it belongs, around the goat's waist. Well, it would have been awesome to see her chase that title, TK, that she never had to give up.
That part. And then on top of that, I mean, you know, briefly on Queen's Crown, that was abysmal. Like I said it, or I don't know when I said it, over the last couple of days, where it's just kind of like one of those things where, you know, we had Evolution. That was, you know, I don't know what they tried to do with that. They didn't bring it back. And then they're like, okay, well, we're going to pacify you with Queen's Crown. You know, 90 second matches, like, really? And then, you know, they do this. There's times where we don't see women's matches at all. So
like tonight.
So
like tonight, kind of one of things, man.
Where it's like, all right.
And I mean, we got some vignettes and all that. We had the Naomi Sonya thing. We had the women's championship swap. We had the promos, but that's just not enough. I'm sorry. Ken Shearer says, it's been a wild 24 hours for wrestling. Shirakawa, Ibushi's injury, blood money, the swaps. I wonder if two men trying to kill each other, Shibata showing up, all that stuff. That's wild. And the next 24 hours are going to get crazy too. I'm about to unplug until outside of Fightful Select. I'm going to unplug until like AEW starts tomorrow. JDE says they should have just renamed the titles if they didn't want to bust their brains booking a match instead of the stupid segment. They go out of their way to make things seem as least important as possible. It seems like they really do.
Yeah, it's but we continue to watch. I mean,
gotta. I would rather cover shitty wrestling than do anything else for a job. I really would. Kari Fly says, hoping Sasha gets the belt from Charlotte and Bianca from Bex, and we finally get our Mania rematch with a good finish at Survivor Series, but it'll never happen. It makes sense. That was one of my favorite WrestleMania matches of all time. Like, I thought that was special, and how Bianca, like, by the end of that match was like, stop using my hair against me. And now she doesn't wait for somebody to use it against her. She's like, I'm going to use it against you before you can even think about using it against me.
And can we talk about that? Can, like, is there an award for that? Like, the fact that she, like, her hair is an accessory, of course, but it's like a mini human. Like, when she does her flips, like, if you watch her arms, she makes sure that the hair doesn't get tangled in her arm. Like, when she does certain things, like, that's a skill right there. Like, I don't think a lot of people fully, you know, fully appreciate that. Like, it's insane. Like, she's amazing. And again, you know, they definitely did a lot, or allowed a lot to happen in good ways. I just hope they don't squander it. Like, you know, what's going to be next for her?
Guys, please leave a thumbs up. You can get your super chats in. We are heading down the home stretch here. Nerd Guru says, it hurts me that Becky tries so hard to make her title legitimate. She did that with both, but the stuff like this erases all that. Sad. It does undo so much of the goodwill. It undoes so much of the goodwill. Bonus Baby says, it is our fault because we keep watching. Well, a lot of people aren't anymore. Since Triple H cut that, well, me and my friend Mark will stop watching. Well, three million people and their friend, well, I guess it'd be 1.5 million people and their friend Mark's, if it's 3 million they've lost. Since then, don't watch anymore, in America at least. Nerd Guru says, as for Becky's feuds going forward, I'd like to see Bianca, Tegan, Rhea wins the Rumble. Rhea versus Becky at Mania. Rebuild Rhea. She's in limbo. Mm. She's a tag champ. She's a freaking tag champ.
Forgot about that. That's the writing.
Man. And I got a message from Denise. It's like, something nice. Today I met a father, his wife, and two little boys at the show, and they are big fans of Fightful. And I'm sitting here, TK, saying, you know it's all about life! But I feel guilty. I feel so guilty.
I mean, it's wrestling. I remember when I went to one match in, I think it was WWE in Ontario. And this is like when I was getting back into wrestling. And I saw there was a family in front of me. And the New Day came out. And the father started gyrating. I was just like, oh, this is what we're doing. Like, it's wrestling. Like, you know, they're fine.
We've got Brandon Charles Powell says, I know the talent can't die on every hill, but I enjoy seeing them stand up for themselves. Me too. And that was in response to New Day not breaking up. Good.
Yeah, but you can only stand up for yourself when you have something to fall off, like fall. So like,
that's
it's
true.
The New Day, like, if they were to leave WWE, especially Xavier, he's good. And so the same thing with Zelina Vega. Like, she was like, I F you, I'm going to still do the switch. And, you know, they ended up bringing her back. It's when you have, you know, I don't know about anywhere else, but in America, you need multiple streams of income. When you have multiple streams of income, then you can kind of call your shots a little bit more. And I'm definitely more, especially with where we are in society and social media, more wrestlers should be definitely using that to their advantage and, you know, establishing that platform so they can call the shots.
I completely agree. Guys, we have three shows tomorrow. Grapsody at noon, post AEW, post Bound for Glory. We are wrapping it up with our friend Kari Fly, who says, that's our PWI number one. If you all noticed that match yesterday, Sasha and Bianca were carrying Bex. Bianca bulldogged herself. Bianca doing that one arm press slam was
CrossFit, though.
That is superstar stuff. That's what you put on the cover of a magazine. That's what you put on the cover of a video game. That's what you put on, like, the back of an action figure package. That's what you put on posters and promo stuff. She's special, and she needs to be treated like that, and she should be protected. And Razor says, what was your reaction to Bruce's comment about Vince? About him liking to move on, doing stuff and moving on? No, he doesn't like to just move stuff and or move on and do after he does stuff. He likes to grind it into the ground. We've seen it. TK, tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you guys can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. And if you love women's wrestling, you can go to Women's Wrestling Talk. So www.talkpod.com. We have articles there. We have a lot of shows there. And you can also follow us on all social media at www.talkpod.
Guys, thank you all so much. I hope you all will join us. And please follow TK. She does some great work. We have great chemistry on this show. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, we're out.
Ciao.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.